And he's going to speak to us this morning on Road Building. You know, this time of the year is the time of the year when you see the machinery standing along the highways and road building is going on and road repair. But, of course, he's going to speak to us upon the subject, Christian Road Building. And we trust that we will all give him our best attention. Brother Rose from Detroit.
This morning, for the period of time that's before us, we'd like to speak on the subject, Christian road building. The text that we will use for a basis for our remarks is possibly a stranger to you. It was to me up until a number of months ago when I saw that text painted on the wall of an odd fellow's lodge. I thought that they must have twisted the words. I looked it up, and sure enough, it was there. I think that we'll find much material for thought in this text. 1 Samuel 27:10. And Ahash, the king, said, and we insert, to David, "Whither have ye made a road today?" And David said, "Against the south, Judah, against the south of the Jerusalemites, and against the south of the Kenites." We'll have to give you a word or so of background that you might understand and appreciate the setting. David had finally fled from Saul for fear of his life and had taken refuge with this kingdom to the south and King Ahash in particular. They became friends, and on a return by David to the king asked this question, and David gave him this answer. Be it noted that in each instance that David said it was against the south of these different enemies. As we go along, we'll find that there's a reason for that. Not for the king, for David in particular, but the lesson for us, for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages are come. As an illustration, it is said that today is like a bridge connecting our yesterdays with our tomorrows. And how we build today on the basis of our yesterdays largely determines our tomorrows. In the world, road building is a prime issue today. As our chairman pointed out to you, we have turnpikes, throughways, we have underpasses and overpasses, high-speed ways of travel for automobiles, trucks, galore, almost in every form. You can buy your way, or you can take the slow way and meet much obstacles and much traffic, as you please. We also have other state and county roads that are much different than the new throughways, turnpikes, and so on, that are known as county roads, state roads, and many of them are nothing more or less than trails through the backwoods. These roads that are state roads, county roads, trails, have many curves, turns, narrow bridges, congested traffic, and washouts, and whatnot. You've all experienced them at some time in your travels on this type of highway, this type of road. Now for us, Christians, who find ourselves looking forward to the spiritual phase of the kingdom, Jesus places us on a road also. But it is much different than anything else that we have found, and our natural roads and ways and means of travel can be but crude illustrations in helping us to understand our road or our narrow way. The Bible puts it that way, a narrow way. Narrow is the way. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. To lead us unto life, and few there be that find us. We find it necessary for our successful arrival at our celestial goal to pay strict attention in our navigation along this narrow road or narrow way. Thus, our road making consists more in comparison to state and county roads, yea, in some instances to trailblazing, to advance in adverse conditions nigh unto impassable for us in the flesh, by ourselves. Thus, few there be that find it. For all the history of the gospel age behind this, we can easily and readily concur and believe that there's few that have found it. Indeed, many who apparently have found it since then have fallen by the wayside because of the narrowness and the obstructions, the conditions under which they are asked to prove their faithfulness on their way to the kingdom. The Hebrew word road is described as to strip off or to conquer, to strip off or to conquer. And we think that this is very good, and it fits our picture very, very well, to strip off or conquer. Of course, the modern definition is a ways and means of attaining a destination. For us, as Christians, it's a narrow way or a narrow road through, though with ample means of accomplishing our destination. A wise man has said, there are ways in the plural and a way. And for you and I, we readily and quickly grasp the lesson and know that for us to be successful in our road building, there's only one way, not ways. No matter how many good ways there are, but there's only one way that will lead to life. For us, at the right hand of God is a part of the anointed Christ, the seed of Abraham. There's many, many roads in the past. The most prominent is also the longest. Matthew 7:13 tells about it. It says, "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat." For more than 6,000 years, this way has been open, and man has been treading it as best he could, but much to his sorrow, for in every case it has ended up in death, extinction. Adam cast the mold for this appalling experience for some 20 billions of men, women, and children. Other picturesque roads have been traveled by Bible characters such as Noah, Abraham, Moses, Daniel, Jonah, and our David that we spoke of this morning. Much could be said in the case of each one of these characters. We're going to mention only the one, David, for lack of time. We will mention that in the case of the first one, Noah, that his road was rather unique, that the Lord laid out for him, insomuch that it led from one world over into a new world, from the world that was, being overflowed of water and that perished, into the present evil world. Thus his road making, his road building, was of a very unique character and type. Jesus, on the other hand, at his first advent, created, brought into being, in accordance with the plan of God, something altogether different than any experience or any pathway that any of those of either the world of mankind or of the characters who served God had tread up to that time. Hebrews 10 and 19 and 20 tells us about this new road, as it were, a new style road. "Just having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way," a new and living way, "which he hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say, our flesh. Not to the world of mankind, or to those who have not been given the benefit of the Holy Spirit as it works in the hearts and the new mind of the church class, the footstep followers of the Lord at the present time. This would be a very complicated text and would be rather meaningless. Insomuch that it says for us, and does not further identify the us. Also it says that it is through a veil and identifies that veil as being our flesh. Well, this would be foreign to the world of mankind in the nth degree. To us, I'm sure that we need not discuss in detail. We understand because of the blessing of the Holy Spirit that has been showered, that has hovered over us because of our being drawn and under this justified condition, under the blessing of the Holy Spirit, under the head, Christ Jesus, that we be built up into Him and thus understand Him and understand our God and understand the ways and means that He would have us travel. And are proving ourselves now here, this side of the veil, as to whether we are worthy of a permanent place in the body of Christ. This new way, this living way, narrow way, is the most exacting, the most perfected, and the most demanding of all ways and means that is mentioned in the Holy Writ. Thus, again, few there be that find it. When the last member or student in road building on this narrow way graduates from the school of Christ, God will have gathered together some 144,001 perfectionalists in road building. And road building, is that what He's preparing us for? Yes, brethren, He's preparing us to be road builders. Well, someone says, we thought that you were talking about a road that we tread, our road. How is it that we're going to be road builders after we traverse this narrow way that we tread at the present time? And we remark that our experience in road building is for the very purpose that we can become master road builders and go to the aid of those who will much need us in this kingdom for which we pray and which is being prepared for and now ushered in to existence. We'll be perfectionists, we'll be road builders, and be known as the glorified seed of Abraham, as the Christ anointed, Galatians 3:29, and so on. Our first monumental project in road making will be known as not a Broadway that leads to destruction, on which the world finds itself at the present time, not a narrow way that leads to life, but a highway, Isaiah 35:8, a highway of holiness, not for us who have at that time, will have at that time already already covered the distance, already reached our goal of glory, honor, and immortality as a part of the anointed Christ, but for someone else, for Adam, yea, all in Adam, Adam and all that's in Adam, a highway of holiness. We know that it is going to be for Adam and for his posterity. We know that they died unclean in the sight of God. And we're told in the Scriptures that in their resurrection that they shall come forth, also lacking a great deal, but under ideal conditions surrounding, which will surround them. And thus the Scriptures go ahead to explain and to verify in thought when Isaiah says that this highway of holiness shall be for the unclean, the resurrected in Adam, Adam's posterity resurrected in Christ, rather, unclean. But then it goes ahead to say that the unclean shall not pass over this highway of holiness. In other words, they shall clean up if they ever expect or ever do succeed in passing over the highway of holiness into the endless ages of eternity. This highway will be just as perfect as the narrow way, just as perfect as the narrow way, but it'll be different. It won't be cramped, narrow. The definition that will not be as narrow and as exacting as a narrow way, although it will be just as perfect, just exactly as perfect. It'll be a perfect way. It'll be a man's road, built for man, built for man of the earth, earthy. 1 Corinthians 15:47. Created in righteousness and godly beauty. A road that, instead of being difficult and being, as it were, a trail, though straight, so narrow that it is hard to get through without getting splinters, without getting bruised, without meeting death itself for us, different in the effect that it will be wide and be glorious, be beautiful, with every facility for easy travel, up to perfection. Whereas the sheep of the parable, the sheep and goats of Matthew 25, they will be able to prove themselves worthy of eternal life in the ages to come. This highway is not for you or I. No, it is for Adam and his family. Who with the expert mediatorial experience and assistance may walk up and up and up, cleaner, cleaner, and cleaner in the sight of God, under God, until they reach the point where they become under God, their Father. During the time of their journey on this glorious highway of holiness, they will not be the sons of God, but rather will be under a mediatorship which will exist between them and God. The mediatorship will consist of Christ the head and the church his body, who have traveled this narrow way, this difficult way of this gospel age, who have proved themselves as road builders and are then capable of helping, even perfectly helping, those who will find themselves on the whole highway of holiness. Our human brethren under Christ in his kingdom will experience the glorious privilege of traversing this high and holy road that leads to life. It is spoken of by Peter as in the Acts of the Apostles as the restitution of all things, which has been spoken by the mouth of all God's holy prophets, all the holy prophets. While this is a glorious picture, and it is for which we are being prepared, and it is the issue, we might say, of the plan of God that we're looking forward to, this restitution of all things for Adam and all his posterity, still at the present time we realize that we're not living on that highway of holiness, but rather that we are experiencing a very peculiar experience, a very peculiar hardship, a very peculiar trial on a narrow and difficult way that cannot be appreciated by the world, but that should be treasured up, as it were, in our hearts to that extent, to that degree, that we will thank God at every turn of the way and every experience, even though it be a cross in one form or another, that causes the trial of our faith and thus further proves us as road builders worthy of being a part of the anointed Christ, perfectionists in their order of that day. It's thrice glorious for us, now in the light of the facts that exist, and the possibilities and the prospects that lies in the future. And we realize that even though we cannot go against the grain of the world in this narrow way, across, as it were, the grain of the broad way that leads to destruction on this narrow way without getting splinters, that even the splinters are good for us. And for these we should thank God. If you're not getting any splinters, are those experiences that would correspond to splinters, we should question ourselves and take ourselves aside, judge ourselves, as it were, as to just how much we are practicing road building in our own way, in our own line, and our own narrow path that has been provided for us. Possibly we're not practicing. Possibly we have stopped by the wayside to listen to the birds sing and see the flowers bloom, watch the rest of the brethren go by and accomplish things, hoping that we'll be carried automatically into the kingdom. This will not happen, brethren. That is the reason that few there's been that has found this straight and narrow way and that will successfully transverse and conclude their trip and end up at the first resurrection as a part of the anointed Christ, the seed of Abraham. We are aiming towards the holy city, the New Jerusalem, the spiritual phase of God's kingdom, which is not the main feature in God's plan. Someone says the spiritual phase of God's plan, that is not the main feature. I don't think so, brethren. I think that to a large extent, it's incidental to the kingdom that we pray for that is coming here on earth, that we pray for that will come here on earth. That is the plan of God, the restitution of all things. And we who are privileged aforetime to walk this narrow way in our proving and in the trial of our faith are Christ-blessed because of the prospect of being instrumental to become a part of this mediatorial Christ, the mediatorial anointed one that will be able to, as it were, mother the world back to perfection on this highway of holiness that they will have the privilege of walking on. Are we thinking of making roads for ourselves? Is that the thought? Us making a narrow way for ourselves, of making success? And again, we say no. I think we all agree that we recognize that in ourselves we can do nothing, that we have nothing. John 15 and 5. That it is only in Christ that we can expect to accomplish anything, either in road building, in our own experience in the narrow way, or in being prepared for road building in the kingdom to come on the other side of the veil. I have thought personally in the past of the narrow way or road as all finished and completely equipped for us by God, that we might walk on it and, as it were, through a maze, through a group of obstacles, and thus prove our faithfulness, our worthiness of being in the kingdom. I think that I was wrong. David seems to correct this illusion. David typed the Christ, you remember, and we are of the Christ. I'm sure that you all agree with me that we who are of the Spirit and appreciate spiritual things, who have been given the benefit of the Holy Spirit, of justification and so on, that we are of the Christ, because we are Christ. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Thus, when we speak of David, we're speaking of our head, our beloved Christ Jesus, and our body members, including ourselves as prospective members of that glorified body later on. David points out that it was necessary to make, to strip clean, to conquer each day the enemies that lay before him that was in the way of him gaining the throne that God had promised him. You remember that he'd already been anointed as king of Israel, anointed to a kingdom, anointed to the throne, but he still did not possess it. He still was in the way of enemies. He still was in the way of difficulties. Just as you and I are in the way of difficulties and the way of enemies, and with much before us that must be overcome at the present time. That was David's experience previous to the time that he occupied the throne, that he was raised up to the glory of the throne. That is our experience now, this side of the veil, before we prove our faithfulness, remove the enemies by the grace of God and the help of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and reach our intended goal. So it is with us. Our way is described as a narrow way, but it's only the blueprint of the type, of the kind, and the requirements and the limitations to the ways and means in which we stand, walk, run toward the goal. The scriptures support this thought, I think. See what you think about it also. Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation. Great fear and trembling are concern. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Matthew 25, we have the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And you remember that there was a difference between them. One was equipped and ready at the time of the wedding feast and had the oil and then made use of the oil and thus entered into the wedding feast, while the other class, known as foolish or less faithful virgins, had to go and seek oil in the marketplace, in the world of experience, through hard knocks and so on, in order to prove themselves worthy of life at all. Here we have a work again, a constancy, a requirement of keeping up, not only being up in the sight of God today, but maintaining our standing in the sight of God through Christ Jesus daily. Again, Colossians 3:5, mortify, therefore, the members of your body which are upon earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, and so on. You remember that in our key text, that David, in reporting to the king as to the enemies that he had conquered, mentioned on three different occasions that these enemies are all to the south of the Jebusites and so on. All to the south, to the south, to the south. Was there a reason for that? And we say yes. We think that there was a reason for that. You remember in the symbology of directions that in the scriptures the north pictures the, as it were, the site, the throne of God. He is spoken of as dwelling in the Pleiades, and the north represents the place of spiritual things, the spiritual blessings. This was also the case in the picture of the tabernacle, and so on. The north always represented spiritual things, while the south always represented earthly things. Don't you remember? Now take note that David's enemies that he had to conquer were all to the south, to the south, to the south. His enemies were of the world and of the earth, earthy. And while we are told that our enemies consist of the world, the flesh, and the devil, we find by practical and hard experience that the world and the devil find expression through the flesh. And so in the final analysis, the flesh becomes our greatest enemy. Our worst enemy is ourselves, in the flesh. Not the new mind, and the new heart, the new will, but the flesh, the earthen tabernacle that we still find ourselves in. And through this, all enemies find expression, the world and the devil, through our flesh. And all of us can attest to this by practical experience. We know that this is so. Thus, David's enemies were all to the south. They were all of the earth, earthy. It shows that his experience at that particular time in road building and road making, stripping clean of conquering, was a type of our experiences this side of the veil of flesh before we're glorified and raised up into the kingdom. It was all to the south. And he had to do this before he could occupy the throne as the king of Israel. Eventually, he did occupy the throne. He was glorified, and he was raised up to the highest seat that one could hold at that time in the only government that was recognized of God. Thus we, if faithful, in stripping clean, in conquering day by day and hour by hour, all of our enemies, the world, the devil, through our flesh, conquering these enemies day by day, we can look forward to the time when we will be raised up to the highest seat of authority, the highest seat of glory and of honor, yea, immortality, that any creation will ever have the privilege of being raised up to. Indeed, it is a glorious prospect, but we must remember that it all depends upon our successful road building, walking in a narrow way, working out our own salvation, studying to show ourselves approved, being filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit and using it and making use of it, that we keep a constant supply daily, ready to be ushered in when the Lord is ready for us, when he is ready to take us home, mortifying hourly and daily our flesh, the members of our flesh, that we become reflectors of God through the mirror and the perfect model, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You remember that Jesus at his first advent was tempted of Satan the devil, and in substance he said on all three occasions, he says, "Get thou behind me, Satan. Get thou behind me, Satan." And we know that Jesus was not bothered by Satan after he had definitely and finally made this demand, had uttered this prayer as it were before God, command unto Satan, "Get thou behind me." Did you ever stop to think that while we see our difficulties in the narrow way as great obstacles, something that's nigh impossible to overcome, nigh impossible to strip away and clear away, clean away, to conquer and so on, that as long as we maintain our standing in Christ, even as embryos, this side the veil, that we are of Christ. Remember the scripture says, "Now are ye the sons of God." The sons of God, as long as we maintain our standing by our faithfulness in the walking in the narrow way and road building. So, this being true, it is just as true and just as much a fact that according to thy faith, so can it be unto you. And whatever your difficulty is in the narrow way can be overcome by the grace of God, and with a firmness and with a meaning and with authority, we can say to Satan, "Get thou behind me, Satan." And in accordance with our faith, that can be a command, and it can become a reality. We will be only limited by our lack of perfection, our lack of depth of perception as new creatures in Christ Jesus, and the exercise of our new mind, our new heart, and our new will. The earthen tabernacle and its limitations will control and hold down, as it were, to us to a certain extent that we will have difficulties that possibly our Lord did not experience in the full, in the same way at least that we experience, because of his perfection as compared to our imperfection. Yet, what we lack will be supplied by our master road builder and instructor, Christ Jesus, our head. Thus we should lift up our heads and rejoice that we know that our deliverance is sure and it is nigh at hand, and that it is only a matter of proving ourselves faithful unto death. The lesson seems to be one of positive believing, believing in the power of God to see us through to the end of the narrow way, a positive exercise of godly love, godly faith, and godly thinking, with a sound mind. With a sound mind? Yes, with a sound mind. And we must remember that there, here on earth, this side the veil, there are no sound minds. Thus we cannot reason with the mind of flesh, but must remember, constantly remember, that our thinking must be through the eyes and through the words and through the heart and through the new mind of Jesus Christ, the glorified, our head, through whom all the nerve center works to each member of the body, even in the embryo, here this side the veil. We must daily, hourly mortify the mind of flesh and think God's way. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let us not belittle the power of God in guiding us every day and in every way to our heavenly treasure in glory, to the treasure that we're laying up in heaven. To each one of us, Paul's advice, to make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned aside, is timely advice. Straight paths for your feet. That means this morning while you are talking and visiting and fellowshipping one with another, this afternoon, this evening when you go home, and at your work next week. Not next Sunday, but hour by hour and day by day. That in every little way, you prove yourselves faithful and thus worthy of this position as a master road builder at the end of the way. Our success in making straight paths for our feet largely depends upon our affinity to our head, us our holding the head. Second Colossians, holding the head, onto the head, being built up onto the head, remembering that without a head we're dead. And as sure as we've been little, are cut off our head, Christ Jesus, in one way or another, directly or indirectly, to that extent we die. True that we should die daily according to the flesh, but the new mind, the new heart, and the new will is to be built up into Christ that we may live in the Spirit unto eternal life. When we think of affinity, we remember not whether we used the illustration here before, but it is a good one, even to repeat. Our affinity to Christ and to our head should be so direct and so pure and so unadulterated and without any foreign substance or foreign flesh, world, or devil in between, that we will think like Christ, be like Christ, and reflect Christ daily and hourly. In the shops, we have what we call Johannesen blocks. For short, we call them Joe blocks. They are blocks of steel, Norwegian steel, special steel, that does not contract or expand too much, and that is ground and polished to such fine limits and perfect surfaces that large Johannesen blocks can be rubbed together firmly until all the air is out between them, and a 1, 2, 3, or 4, 5 pound bar sticking to another bar will not drop to the floor, even though only held with the top one, simply because there is no air between, no air, no foreign substance. The metal is, as it were, metal to metal, all of one. An affinity, one for the other, that is so close that no air can seep in between and no rupture can occur. And that should be our affinity to our head and our Master Jesus Christ. Now finally, brethren, in closing, let us now resolve with our brother Paul this hour, on and on, to say and state and pray and live and think as he did. When he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the prize, the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." And again, "that they all may be one." You remember the Lord prayed in the 17th chapter of John? Here's this affinity again. "That they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." And may the Lord add his blessing.